Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Town Hall. Today, I am joined by my guest, Alon Gluck. He's one of the U.S. general managers for Wasteless. I don't get too nervous anymore when I'm doing these recordings. I've been doing it for a couple years, but like, full disclosure, I've known Alon for like 15, 20 years at this point, and we haven't seen each other in literally forever. And so the fact that we're reuniting on the Town Hall, both working in the sustainability space, it's very cool. That's a little nerve-wracking. So Alon, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Amy, and good to talk to you. And I know it's been a while, but surely we'll pick right back up.
Okay, so let's start off, you know, learning a little bit more about you. Walk me through what you've been up to professionally, you know, what brought you here, and now what do you do at Wasteless?
Yeah, sure. So from Atlanta, Georgia, which is where we initially knew each other from growing up. So I started my career in business working in consulting, where I was at Deloitte Consulting for about 5 years. And that gave me a good background in really the all of the tools needed to run a business and what makes a business kind of tick and grow. While I was at Deloitte, I had the opportunity to work in the utility space, which gave me a little bit of exposure to how our power is made and everything that goes into the utility system, and then a little bit of green tech of solar power. So from there, I transitioned to work at a VC fund that specialized specifically in clean tech. And we were looking at a lot of different solar technology, wind technology, and things like that. After that, I transitioned to work for a startup that was all focused in data. It didn't have anything to do with clean tech. We actually focused in data analytics for breweries, for beer companies. And while we were there, we developed some technology that the founders and myself, we said, you know what? There's probably a way we can apply this same kind of technology to a problem that we felt needed addressing, which is the problem of food waste. So as we were at that startup that was focused in beer, we took some of that technology. And after we left that company, we then started Wasteless, which is a company that helps grocery stores reduce their food waste and increase the profitability of their perishables using dynamic pricing. So to put it simply, as a product approaches its expiration date, we help that grocery store step the price down of that product in a smart way to sell it before they have to throw it away. And currently, they're throwing away a ton of food. So we think it's a big problem that we're addressing. And yeah, so that's really high level what Wasteless is.
So when in your career do you think like sparked your passion for sustainability, and now why do you think, you know, food waste or the food problem at scale is such an important issue for you?
Yeah, so for me personally, you know, sustainability has always been something I've been passionate about. And I think that came about just from really spending a lot of time in nature growing up and throughout my life. I've had a lot of opportunities to do backpacking trips and camping and just spending time outdoors really instilled in me a love for nature. And then as I got into the business world, I started to think about, well, there's probably a much better way to do this to where we can have less impact on the environment and also make more money. Because obviously that's kind of make what makes these businesses tick is, you know, they have to make profit, but there's probably a smarter way to do that. So that's really when I, early on in my career, I started thinking about, well, how can we do this in a smarter way to have less impact on the environment, but still remain profitable?
So more about Wasteless. I mean, the power of dynamic pricing, that's kind of the secret sauce, right? You know, but there's also a lot of tech involved, and our companies have that in common. You know, we're on a mission to quote unquote end waste, and we're using tech to get there. And I've read a lot of research in prep for this interview, of course, but like the tech kept standing out to me as so insanely impressive. So walk me through the use of like AI, the electronic shelf labels. I mean, that's so cool. And the way that you guys use e-commerce to match like in-store and online pricing. I mean, it's all tech-based.
Yeah, absolutely. So just stepping back and thinking about, you know, how we came up for the idea for Wasteless. So really, it was born out of something that all customers do when they go to a grocery store, which is, you know, we go to the milk section or the poultry section, and we kind of reach to the back of the shelf and we pick out that product that's farthest away from expiring, right? You know, it's something I know I do every time I go to the grocery store. And while we don't think about that, it's kind of second nature for a consumer, this regular behavior has a huge impact on the environment, because what that means is these grocery stores are throwing away a ton of food because it's expiring. And actually, around 90% of waste in a supermarket is due to expired products. So what we realize is if supermarkets actually have the ability to manipulate the price of a product in real time or in close to real time, they could then nudge the customer to take the product that's closer to expiring. So by using price, you can actually incentivize the customer rather than reaching to the back of the shelf and picking out the newest milk, the one that's farthest from expiration. You can actually incentivize them to take the carton of milk or the meat product that's still very much fresh and still very much good to eat, but is a little bit closer to expiration. And part of where the AI comes in is to think about, okay, well, now I can use this lever of price, which is very powerful, but how do I smartly price my products? So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to give you 50% off, and that's going to be my incentive, 50% off for a product that's closer to expiration. What the AI can do, and really using machine learning, is it can determine, based on the specific product in the specific store and the shopping patterns of the shoppers at that specific store, what's the least I can mark the product down and still have enough of an incentive to sell it before it expires? So instead of saying I have to sell this product for 50% off, now I can, you know what, maybe I only have to mark this product down by 7.5% or 10% 2 days before it expires. So you're still able to incentivize the customer and sell that product before its expiration, but you don't have to sell it for a 50% or 30% markdown, which really eats into the margins of the supermarket. So the AI is all about what's that perfect price point to where we can sell something but not lose all of our profit.
And what about the electronic shelf labels? That's, I mean, the coolest thing to me. If you check out the Wasteless website, you can kind of see an example of it. Do those labels exist in stores now?
Yeah. So the electronic shelf label, we basically call that, you know, it's the enabler to our pricing engine solution. And essentially what that is it uses the same kind of technology like your Kindle. And what it allows is for you to control the prices of products in real time. So I can then change a product in a back-end database and the updated price will appear on the electronic shelf label. So rather than printing out a bunch of stickers, you can now update the prices from a database. So what the shopper would see on the electronic shelf label in a Wasteless project is they'd approach the shelf. Let's say they're looking at a poultry product. The electronic shelf label would show two prices for the same product. For example, it would say for the product that expires in 1 day, that price would be $5. For the same product that expires in 3 days, the price would be $5.50. So the customer then has the option, do they want to get the one that expires today, pay a little bit less because maybe I'm cooking tonight, or the one that expires a few days later and pay the regular catalog price. So the electronic shelf label essentially allows us to give the customer options for which price they want to pay.
I love that. I think that's it's pretty genius.
One more thing about the shelf labels, they're really common in Europe. So most grocery stores in Europe are full of electronic shelf labels. In the US, you'll see them in electronic stores and hardware stores. You're starting to see them more and more in grocery stores. For example, Whole Foods is now getting ready to roll out electronic shelf labels in all of their stores. So we think it's a trend that's going to come pretty quickly because it gives the supermarkets a lot of leverage in how they control price in real time in their stores.
You know, that's exactly what I was going to say is I say you kind of give the supermarket all the power. But again, sometimes that power is abused. Like we were talking about the food waste problems at grocery stores and just worldwide. I mean, it's atrocious, right? Like we're literally feeding a landfill like he's a hungry monster. And there's a bunch of companies out there trying to figure out a better way. So Wasteless is headquartered in Israel, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you work out of New York. So how is Wasteless expanding globally? Where are you guys all over the world?
Yep. So our headquarters are in Tel Aviv, and all of our R&D is completed in our Tel Aviv office. Our first commercial office is in Amsterdam, and we have projects ongoing throughout Europe and in Italy and in Spain, in the Netherlands, and getting ready to ramp up in Belgium and in France. The reason we started in Europe is, quite frankly, the supermarkets are a lot more technologically advanced than we see here in the U.S. They're a little bit smaller, so they're easier to manage from an IT perspective. And really, the consumer is much more sustainability conscious. That I know that pains us to hear in the U.S., but it's just a reality. So it made sense for us to start there. We just started here commercially in the U.S., basically toward the end of 2019. So we're ramping up kind of commercial activity in the U.S. We have our first project in a New York City-based supermarket that's going on now. And we're really focused on growth here in the U.S. and in 2020. And a lot of that is because, and you guys see this, I'm sure, the sustainability is getting to be front and center in really every industry you look at, and particularly nowadays in the food industry and the food retail industry. And that's coming from consumers and, you know, a lot of different angles where the supermarkets are saying, okay, sustainability is something we can't just attribute to the cost of doing business, or food waste isn't something we can ignore anymore. We need to start being proactive in how we approach this because our customers are demanding it from us.
Why do you think people are caring so much more now?
Well, I think part of it is scare tactics. Number one, I think people are feeling more fear about climate change. I think people are getting smarter about climate change. So that's one thing. Number two, I think there's been some really good kind of good PR push from a lot of different great organizations, kind of getting people aware about the impact of the food system and how big the food system is. So I think there's a lot of different kind of forces going on that are really just making people aware of how big the problem is and what they can potentially do to help.
So let's talk a little bit about ROI from some of these projects. I mean, what kind of impact or success have you seen with some of your customers? I mean, is there anything that you can share with us in terms of, you know, success stories? It's really inspiring to hear, you know, all of this work is paying off. And more importantly, it's working in Europe and maybe it can just, you know, work here too.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the most exciting part is we're seeing really great success with all of our projects. Also, you know, it's such a huge issue. So there's a ton of low hanging fruit when you think about food waste in supermarkets because it's such a massive prevalent issue. But, you know, we're seeing really the two things we focus on are how can we reduce waste and increase profitability. So for our projects, you know, take a 12-week sample project, we're seeing waste reduction rates at around 45%. Revenue increase rates around 40%, which is contributing basically about 1.5% margins per product. So the results are really staggering. And now it's just a matter of how do we get the word out about, you know, this type of solution, and how do we start scaling this so we can have a bigger impact.
So people are really taking the smarter option when it's laid out in front of them. You have the research, you have the data that the consumer is going to get the cheaper one that expires sooner. I mean, that's really fascinating. You wouldn't, you know, there's such a problem in America, I mean, all over, but America as well, with ugly produce, you know, stores throwing tomatoes away because they're blemished, but not thinking that a Mexican restaurant could use that for a salsa. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we think about that kind of stuff all the time, right? Like, there are these micro solutions to these macro problems. And then when you see a company like Wasteless and you hear the story, sometimes when you're watching like Shark Tank, you see an idea and you kick yourself for not thinking of it. Or you, like I do, like I'm like, oh, I could have thought of that. And that's kind of like what I'm experiencing a little bit right now. You know, like hearing the success, hearing how it works, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? Like it's 2020, let's get on board. This is what kind of the new normal needs to look like. And a lot because of my role, I do a lot of research into different brands and influencers and B Corps. And a lot of times my research always sends me back to, because I, you know, research globally, always sends me back to the EIT, Europe's Food Innovation Initiative. And there are some real, and I've talked about on the podcast like multiple times, there are real heavy hitter startups in the network. And I saw that you guys are included as well. So what does an incubator like that do for Wasteless?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Those kind of incubators are super helpful for us, for a small startup like Wasteless. In basically, they help contextualize what we do for a large corporation that isn't necessarily used to or comfortable with dealing with a small startup. So they work with us to say, listen, you guys have a pricing solution, but we're going to take you to this big corporation, and they've done pricing of their products in a way, you know, in the same way for the last 50 years. And they have all these legacy technology systems that, you know, at the end of the day, when we talk about sustainability, the only way we're going to have an impact is if we build something that is compatible with legacy systems. It has to actually work in real life, or else we're just going to be, you know, talking about ideas and nothing will get implemented. So what EIT does, they basically are a go-between, you know, what we think is a really innovative company like Wasteless, but is really small. They help kind of broker a deal between a very large corporation that isn't comfortable or used to dealing with a small company. And on the flip side, they help us get ourselves in order and comfortable with dealing with a very large corporation. So those type of incubator programs are different kind of accelerators that essentially put small startups and innovative companies in the same room as large corporations that have massive legacy systems, both from a technology perspective and operational perspective, getting us in the same room and helping us kind of talk through the problems and make our ideas come to fruition is an extremely valuable part of the ecosystem. And EIT in Europe is just one example, but there's several that exist here in the US as well that have been helpful.
Okay, Ilan, before we sign off, I let you get back to, you know, saving the world one chicken breast at a time. I did want to play our rapid fire game with you. It's just a way, you know, we talk about some really high level sustainability concepts. We're talking about business. Let's get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to shoot off 10 quick questions and you just say appropriately the first thing that comes to your mind. Cool?
All right, let's try it.
Okay. What was the first concert you ever went to?
Chumbawamba.
What does your morning routine look like?
Wake up, shower, walk my dog. That's it.
What's one of your biggest fears?
Biggest fears, thunderstorms.
Name one really good Halloween costume you've had in your lifetime.
Last year, I was Greg Allman, and my fiance was Cher. That one was pretty cool.
Where's the best falafel in Israel?
Falafel Gabbai on Bugrashov.
Where's the best pizza in New York?
Best pizza in New York is John's on Bleecker, for sure.
What books are you reading right now?
Actually, this goes pretty well. I just finished We Are the Weather by Jonathan Safran Foer. It's all about the impact of what we eat on the climate.
It's still early enough in the year for this. What's one of your 2020 resolutions?
2020 resolutions? Well, basically, coming off of that book, I've decided I'm not going to eat any animal products for breakfast, which sounds easy, but that means no eggs, no bacon, none of the fun stuff. So basically, I've stopped eating breakfast.
Intermittent fasting. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would you have dinner with and why?
Who would I have dinner with and why? I would say, oh gosh, this is a hard one, but Jerry Garcia, because I think he just had a good perspective on life, understood what was important in life, and did what he wanted and went after it.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Well, success to me means doing something that makes me happy, doing something that has a positive impact on the world, and doing something that allows me to spend time with people that I care about, people that care about me. And yeah, I think just doing something that makes me feel happy and fulfilled. I think that's my vision of success.
I love that. Where can people find out more about Wasteless and all the work that you guys have going on, either, you know, in Europe or in the U.S.?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely visit our website, wasteless.com. Feel free to reach out to me, Ilan, I-L-A-N, at wasteless.com. If you're here in New York, where we have our technology installed at a great grocery store here at 14th and 7th called Elm Wellness. So it's a great opportunity to kind of see how it works in real life. But yeah, would be happy to share more information with anybody or just have a conversation.
I'm in a group chat with a bunch of our guy friends, and I like all of them are blowing me up right now. They are all so jealous that we got to do this together today. Because I mean, we're two kids that grew up together in Atlanta. Now we're two adults who are trying to leave the earth just a tad bit better than when we first got here. And this was so much fun and so cool for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. It was great. Great to talk to you. Great to catch up. And thank you for what you guys are doing here at Rubicana with the podcast. It's awesome. Keep doing it.